CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. We're here, we're live. It is Monday, it's the 28th of October already. November just around the corner, and December just a little bit further than that. Yes, the end of the year is upon you, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's coming in hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm. How was your weekend?
All good. I did a lot of Netflix and chill.
Oh, good.
But in the adult sense, not the teenage sex
sense. Watching adult movies?
No. Like Netflix and chill usually means you're going to get some action.
Am
I right?
You're with someone.
Yeah. Usually you're going to lie there watching the first 15
first
minutes
5 minutes.
Series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how you line it up.
Yeah.
To get ready to
get
going.
So I Netflix and chilled by myself.
Oh, okay.
That's the adult version.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the adult version. The adult version should be when you get action. I would say that's the single version. Wow, okay.
You're kind of right, Gareth.
Jesus, I had the shittiest night last night just because there were mosquitoes.
Oh, it was hot. Really? I'm scratching my ankles right now.
Yeah, mosquitoes and heat.
I'm still radiating heat.
It rained, yeah, from what I can see.
It rained a little bit. When did you get back?
I got back on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, okay, yeah.
Saturday morning,
and
hit the ground running.
Certainly no big rain to boast about.
Not enough. Mm. Not by any stretch of the imagination, but it did rain like last night somewhere around midnight because I woke up suddenly and then I realized, you know, these fucking little mosquitoes. You know, normally have a problem with them. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's because there's been no rain.
Mm.
And suddenly they came out of their hidey holes.
Mm. There's no water for them. They're going straight for the blood.
I mean,
sure.
Straight for the blood. And I was like waking up and flailing like an idiot. Plus, I eventually figured out the only way to not get bitten by them is to get under blankets. But then it's
hot,
boiling hot.
Mm. You know, I just use
you
a,
sleep
use
with
a
the
fan.
Windows open.
Oh no! But if you sleep with the windows open, you take a risk because you might get a little breeze, but you might also get more mosquitoes. Yeah.
So is that how they come in?
I don't know. I was in this quandary, and I'm like, I'm half in a daze this morning because I couldn't get to sleep.
Yeah, I had very disturbed sleep. These patches that you get, which are new, so obviously not available yet. You know, like a nicotine patch or a hormone patch, just one of those little patches changes the immediate environment around your body, and mosquitoes can no longer detect the carbon dioxide, which is how they find you.
Yeah, they find you from your breath.
Mm.
Sons of bitches. Can I try some of those?
I don't think they're available yet. Yeah,
I'll try anything.
Ugh,
if anybody has, I know it's so itchy and goddamn annoying. And like you hear them, you just hear this, and then you flail around like a mad human being. I'm gonna get you.
And no matter how much you think you can see it in between your hands, you always miss.
Well, you know, I hit them sometimes, and then there's blood on me, and I'm like, oh, what blood does this thing come from? Because it might not be mine.
Oh, no.
AIDS blood.
It could be AIDS blood. It could be
malaria blood.
Cow blood. It could be dog blood. It could be horse blood. You don't know.
Imagine dog blood is disgusting, I think. I wouldn't want to be sharing mosquito nozzles with the dog.
Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you do.
Damn it.
They'll break you, these things. It's terrible. All right, so we're just trying to connect up the WhatsApp line because it was down over the weekend, but we seem to be making some progress there. Mm. Let us know what you're up to and what you got up to this weekend. Gugu had a fun time. You were in Spain.
I was in Espanol from about Tuesday. I flew out on Tuesday off evening.
No, you were out on Thursday.
No, Tuesday evening.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I came to work on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay, you were there for a while. I thought it was only like the weekend. But
I flew out on Tuesday evening, landed on Wednesday morning, came back on...
Yeah, but what did you get up to over there? We don't want to hear about your travel arrangements.
Oh, you don't want to hear my travel, jeez.
Not your arrangements, we want to hear what you did, yeah.
Yeah, so
Jesus.
Like...
It's like, well, my flight was at 6:14, and we landed at 8:44, and...
Terminal B, Zurich.
And here's my code for my, you know, my boarding...
Yeah. Come on. No, dude, it was amazing. The women there, like, are just so beautiful. I landed in Barcelona.
How is it that you talk about the women first? What were you there for?
That's where I landed. I was there for... I'll get there. But when I landed, my mind was blown, Leanne. I felt like crying seeing all the beautiful women. Oh,
we saw you in a promo for your first dates show.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
So I caught. We were a little bit confused as to whether your slots had been on yet or not.
Oh no, that's on Wednesday. This Wednesday.
Oh, okay, good. So it's been
Wednesday at 8.
It's BBC. Been episode 1 and 2 so far.
Yeah, it's been episode 1 and 2.
And
so
you
far.
Were in episode 1, but just a flash of you.
Really?
Yeah, you
like literally
you were
a
saying
second.
Something.
But here's what's so amazing: you were in the promo for 1 second. Okay. Uh-huh. They showed, and it didn't say Google or anything underneath it. And someone who listens to us found that picture.
Really?
And managed to send it.
And knew that it was you.
Jeez.
It's amazing.
Don't know how they knew it was me. Yeah.
They must have really been paying attention.
Yeah.
So the show is actually of really good quality because I watch the American one and the Australian one.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we totally skipped over your Spain story.
Yeah, I saw that.
No, we'll get to that.
We'll come back. We'll run back to
and,
it.
And, you know, it's all very awkward, but it's meant to be. It's all first dates. So it's meant to be awkward. But it wasn't awkward in the sense of, oh my gosh, South Africa did this show, you know, horribly.
Oh, yeah, like it's, so many other shows here where you can see it's just a local version of something, but it's bad.
Yeah, no, this one's good.
Okay.
Sorry, Leanne, Garrett, nice. Could you give me the code for like our WhatsApp so I can set it up quickly?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think someone
I have no
does.
No idea, dude, no.
No, the password for this WhatsApp.
I have no idea.
But you just put it in just now.
Oh, for the phone itself?
Yeah, give it to me here so that when I
you really are into the minute details this morning, aren't you?
No, someone has to do it go. Since Sia's not here.
All right, Gugu's trying to sort out the lines so that we can communicate with you this morning. It's all very complicated. Anyway, yeah, so a good weekend all round then, and
it
seems
rugby.
Everyone is talking about the rugby. Now, I had such an argument with someone about this the other day, because I didn't watch the rugby, and I know that's sacrilege. You know, there is no good white male in South Africa who doesn't watch this stuff, and even good black males who don't watch it, because...
You're like, where's your hearsay?
Because some of my black mates are sending me the same... videos that all the white guys are sending me of like President Ramaphosa congratulating Siya Kolisi and the team, and then Siya and the team sending a video from the change rooms, and like guys, and they're just all like really excited about this. And I know it's a big deal, right? We're in the finals.
Yeah.
That is no small achievement. So even for someone who is not into rugby, I'm really not. I don't lie anymore. I used to pretend I cared. I'm not interested in watching. I'm going to have to watch the final because it's a final and we're in it.
Yeah, and also there's some pomp and ceremony around it.
Yeah, and good for our guys. Well done to them. So, I mean, you'd be an idiot to not be a little bit excited by that. And I didn't watch this match, but I will watch the next one. And maybe we'll get to talk to Ben a little bit later on, find out what his takeout was.
Yeah.
Because he's always got a nice...
I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, he gets it, you know.
So I think the general excitement is that we won't be facing New Zealand in the final.
Well... Turns out that a lot of people think that the English team is much better than the New Zealand team. That's what I'm picking up from the intel that I've heard online. A lot of people very excited about the England team and how good they are. We've got a couple of suggestions here, really important practical information this morning. Mosquitoes, get a net to hang at the door.
At the door?
Yeah, you double-side it on.
What so, if I forget it's
windows?
On there and then I run into it and I bounce backwards and fall?
That doesn't sound like a good plan to me. Mozzie's tennis bat from Checkers, etc., red and black, it works.
Oh, those electrical buzzers.
Oh, that fry them. Bzzzt. That's hilarious. Okay, and then a lot of people still coming in about last week and our talk about the worst place in South Africa
to live.
We had excellent suggestions. There are a couple of that have rolled in and we might have to put together a list on the website. But Dispatch in the Eastern Cape is definitely right up there.
Mm-hmm. It's an industrial area.
Yeah. Morning all. I was listening to old episodes of the show over the weekend, and I'm not sure I'm alone in asking how Grant from Nelspruit's wife's new tits are. We have a vested interest. Michelle, you know what? Good point, because Grant told us that his wife was going to go and get new tits, and now we're all in. So you have to now, Grant, if you're listening to us, you need to tell us what happened. We demand an update, preferably from her, not even from you. Uh-huh. We'd like to know how she feels about her tits before you tell us.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I think that's only right. Thank you, Michelle. See, we've got to keep up to these promises we
She's
make.
She's keeping us in
Thanks,
line.
Michelle.
Good for you, Michelle. What a great start to the day.
Titties.
Isn't it great? Okay, but I'm still looking for good suggestions for mosquitoes, because we are going into summer now, and I'm really not charmed about the way I slept last night. It was just horrendous.
It really does help having a good old pedestal fan.
Ready?
Or like,
it'll blowing on you?
Blowing those things
you
away.
You put it on to swing so that it moves around a bit.
And then they can't navigate through the...
No. It's great.
It's too difficult for
that. Yeah, fuck.
Instantly drunk.
Ah, shit, that's a hell of a wind. All right, that's a good one. I like that. This is a nice, sweet, friendly message this morning from someone we haven't heard from before. Ndu, who says, morning, wankers. Isn't that nice?
Mm. Oh, thanks for that.
And then someone has these bags from Raid. Liquid electric. Sleep like a baby, even with the windows open. Apparently this stuff, you know, you buy those patches.
Yeah.
And this stuff is apparently the winner. So I'm going to take a screenshot of that. Thank you very much. And let me give thanks to Mariska for this one. Mariska,
I just always wonder, like sometimes I put those sleep mats in the machine into the wall, the plug.
Yes.
And I wonder how bad it is to inhale all of this stuff.
Well, I had one of those tins of that stuff, that insect repellent stuff that you meant to spray on yourself.
Mm.
But man, when you spray it on, you almost choke.
So that Tabard or something like that.
Oh,
that red
stuff. Yeah, yeah. And I was going,
poison.
It actually removes my nail polish.
Really?
That's how strong it is. It like makes it all sticky
and
tacky.
That's not good.
Jeez.
Yeah. And once I sprayed myself with what I thought was a can of something like that. And when I read on it, it was, the packaging was so similar, but it had the word room under it, really small. And you were supposed to...
So you were spraying the room one on your body?
You were supposed to blast the room, close the doors and leave it for 10 minutes.
Blast itself.
I had it all over my face. That's a shower.
Glad you're alive. Oh, that's horrible. Anyway, so I've got to make it through today, and I've got big meetings in the afternoon. I'm going to be exhausted. Oh. I just feel it. Plus, I tried to get back to gym. Now, I remember I was all thrilled and happy with myself a couple of weeks ago when I thought I had, because I'd fallen and I'd hurt myself. And I knew when I fell, this is going to be a problem. And that was probably about 6 weeks ago. And then lo and behold, the week before I left for New York, I suddenly got the shooting pain down my leg and my lower back was really sore, right? I hate to bore you with the details, but there is a story to this.
Mm.
So anyway, I just left it because one morning I woke up and I felt fine. But then it came back and it just did not go away. The whole time in New York I had this. It's like a classic sciatica type thing.
Yeah, I was going to say sciatica. Down the side of your leg?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I knew, and it wasn't spinal. I don't have spinal problems. I've never had, touch wood, never had a back issue. And I know a lot of people who do, and that stuff is just debilitating, right? Mm. And I thought eventually, I've got to make an appointment. So as soon as I got back, I think it was Monday last week. I flew in Monday last week. I phoned this woman who my mother swears by, my sister does. She's like a chiropractor and it's a brilliant, brilliant woman, apparently. Mm. I made the appointment, but she could only see me on Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Ooh.
Which is horrible because... waking up early on a Saturday and
a Sunday. Saturday,
when you wake up early every day.
Punishment. Mm. So anyway, I did, and I was up, and I was at her rooms in time. This woman is the Jesus of chiropractic. I'm a disciple. I forevermore, if I ever have problems, I hope
she's Jesus Christ,
our Lord God lets her live forever, because she can, man.
What did she do to you?
So she strapped me. First of all, you get into her little table / chair, and she lowers it down, and then she works this muscle right next to your spine and just above your ass.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Suddenly, it's sore as hell.
Yeah.
Right? But then everything just comes right. I got up off of there. I mean, she showed me on a chart what she was doing, and like she taps your knee to check that you're, you know,
reflexes.
Your reflexes are still good, and she like takes a little needle and says, "Is your foot? Do you feel this?" And she rubs the side of your foot like this. She knew exactly what to do. The whole thing was probably 5-10 minutes. I walked out of there. I was fine. I have not had a single complaint the whole week. I feel fantastic. It's good. Oh, I'm a happy guy.
Oh, that's so amazing. So
thank the Lord for these people who are specialists at what they do.
It's like Jesus himself said, rise and walk, my son.
That's it. She's like, she's Jesus.
And she's Jesus Christopractor.
Jeez.
Anyway,
amazing.
When you meet someone who can do those things for you, you will... I didn't even look at what the bill was. I said, here, just take my credit card and take as much as you want.
Do what you must.
Have a 1,000 rand tip.
Whatever you want. I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? When you're in pain, everything else disappears. All your other priorities go away.
Mm.
And if you can sort that out, you just feel 100 times better.
Yeah.
Oh.
I felt like that before leaving the chiropractor, but this woman sounds extra special. But also sometimes the chiropractor gets into muscles that hold emotion.
Uh-oh.
And you end up going home and having a good cry and you don't know why. And it's from that. So it's
no, that's because you're in mental case.
I promise you, it's way beyond just your physical muscle.
Anthea takes great pleasure in other people being called mental cases.
Totally. But I have to agree with Leanne because I've experienced it. You go for a massage and then you come home and you're like, oh, feeling a bit down, not sure why. But apparently it's exactly that because you do hold emotions, as you call it, in muscles. And also you become dehydrated, right?
Yeah.
You have to drink. They always say, do you have some water afterwards? But man, I cannot tell you how good it feels to not have to be sore.
Mm.
And you take these things for granted. Most of the time, I'm healthy. I don't think about it. If you wake up this morning and you're not in pain, 100%. Just whatever happens to you, so what? You know, compared to being like that, this bedraggled,
wounded animal.
Yeah. Horrible way to live. So how are you, Anthea? How was your weekend?
I'm not bad, thanks. Trained a bit this weekend, finally, because we've got 94.7 coming up. Cycle challenge.
Aren't you fundraising again this
year? We are fundraising, yes. We must get Dr. Motsepe in here to come and tell you all about it. It's a whole bunch of us doing it. Some people are doing it twice.
So this is for the Early Care Foundation.
That's right, yes, of which I'm a trustee. So we look after women in the townships. We help them set up their creches, get qualified and get registered with the Department of Social Welfare so that they can get grants and help the children and teach the children properly. I mean, so the director of the Early Care Foundation, Deirdre, always tells the story about how when she started going into the townships and looking at the creches, she'd find the children sitting in the corner with their fingers on their lips, you know, just absolutely dead quiet, and nobody would know what to do with them. And now when you go into those same creches, wow, like the intellectual, mental, physical stimulation's brilliant. Like they're playing games, they're reading stories, they're singing. It's quite amazing work these women do, I must say.
It is amazing. And the main thrust of the thing is that there are so many kids who kind of raising themselves, or they're just being raised by some granny in the townships. And, you know, they sit on the side of the street most of the day and horrible things can happen. And in these creches, they're able to learn, they're able to be safe, they're able to get food and care and attention. And let me tell you, if you are damaged at an early age and you don't get the stimulus that you need at an early age as a child, there's just no way they can fix that later on. So what these brilliant people, I can't sing their praises enough, at the Early Care Foundation do, is they save the next generation.
That's exactly how I see it. You know, so this is not for my generation. This is for the future of South
Africa.
Nothing
we can do about our generation.
Lost cause. But you're so right. And so children's brains develop the most in the first 100 days. And to kind of watch them grow, it's quite something. It really is. And the difference is amazing.
The fact is, we're not going to criticize those parents who have to work and have to leave the kids at home. There's nothing you can do. You have to get out there and earn the bread. Sometimes it's single parent households. Sometimes it's the kids raising the kids. Sure. You know, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. So what are you going to do? Complain about the fact that these aren't nuclear families and that there isn't a two income household or any of that stuff? You can't complain about that. What you can do is try to help the kids. So well done to everybody at the Early Care Foundation, and they do amazing work. I mean, they've been going now, must be about 12 years.
I think it
10,
is
12 years.
About that, yes. They started out earlier than that as a different organization, but this what we're talking about is probably
about
that.
It used to be called
that.
ASHA.
That's right.
I remember I went to the opening of one of the first ones in Bromfisherville years ago, and it was just so good to see all these little kids having fun, playing, learning, being nurtured and cared for, rather than just being left alone, you know, to wander around. Or worse, to be locked in the house.
But
I want to look after them.
I was at an early care center 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe the number of children that were actually still sitting on the street corner, not in an early care center. So there's lots of work still to be done. Sure. You know, we've touched thousands of women and hundreds of creches, but still, there's so much more. And as you say, it's not the parents' fault. They have to go and work. And so what they do is, because we can't all afford expensive daycare in Sandton where they have to go and work, you just leave your child with the neighbor. And if the neighbor's not qualified, well,
or if the neighbor's a psychopath, you don't know.
Oh, please don't say that. That would just break my heart. Oh,
I know, but this kind of thing happens. Yeah. So anyway, we've got Anthea in early this morning because she's going to join us for the five things, and a lot of people are wondering if Sia is okay. He's fine. He had his car broke down this morning. He called me early this morning, and then he called me about 10 minutes before the show and said he's had some kind of a breakdown. He's got the tow truck coming, but he'll
should've be called
here.
Me, but look, he calls you.
Well, don't make it about you.
It's not about me, but I could have helped him or something.
I don't know. What, are you going to go there with your spanners
and
your wrench?
No, I talked him through and said, dude, touch this or touch that. You know what I mean? Now he's called a...
I don't see how masturbation is going to help him.
Yeah, it's not in this case, Gugu. You're wrong.
Okay, Gareth.
I mean, Leanne, do you?
No, and, you know, this and that. I mean, you just need this. But no,
why do you have to touch all of these things? It must be very hard for you.
You're going to diagnose the damn thing.
I think it's the perfect thing to happen on a Monday morning in traffic, don't you?
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah. What a horrible way to start your week. Oh, can you imagine waking up first thing on a Monday and you... driving to work, dum-da-dum-dum. Oh, it's Monday, but I'll make it through the day. And your car seizes up.
Little bastard, that thing of his.
Uh-huh. All right, so we got the news. You want to do the five things you need to know this morning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Anthea, feel free to pitch in comments on any of these things. Qualified or unqualified. They're just stories that are going on in the news. I mean, I'm unqualified as all hell. So.
You said it'll have to be unqualified, I'm afraid.
So apparently... Gwede Mantashe paid a bunch of journalists to quash a sex scandal story. He was extorted, essentially, by a bunch of journalists. Oh, these are some journalists, I'll tell you. Apparently, the South African National Editors Forum, that's SANEF, said it was shocked by reports that Mineral Resources Minister Gwede Mantashe paid two tabloid journalists to squash a story about an extramarital affair. It's amazing to me. Like, the ANC has caters all over the place who will steal every cent and they won't even be embarrassed about it. But you catch them with their pants down or in a bizarre sexual tryst or in something like that, then suddenly they're so embarrassed they'll pay whatever it takes to get the story off the headlines. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So according to the Sunday World, Mantashe paid 70,000 rand to journalists in exchange for not publishing a story about his relationship with a much younger woman.
Those are very cheap journalists. Yeah. 70,000 rand.
You don't know how little journalists earn.
Oh, right.
70,000 rand is like a year's salary for you. No, really. These are some of the most underpaid people. Well, maybe they don't deserve more. I don't know. Especially tabloid journalists. As far as I'm concerned, they should earn maybe half of that a year.
Half of the real news journalists.
So in a statement...
But now basically we know that something's going on. So
well, this is the point. So if anyone...
How squashed was it?
Exactly. If you ever try to pay someone off or someone extorts money out of you, it ends up costing you double because you end up losing the money and you end up with your story in the news.
Anyway.
So if anyone ever does this to you, just say, fine, go ahead. Because the pain you're going to take in terms of how embarrassing the story is going to be as bad... whether you've paid the money or you haven't. In fact, it might be more embarrassing if you tried to cover it up.
Yeah, and especially your wife is going to be fuming if you tried to cover it up.
Either way.
And if you say, go ahead and print the story, what's the upside for them? There
Nothing.
Is no upside,
There's no
right?
upside,
so
yeah.
they might not even print the story
Correct.
Because they don't get money for it. Or
so
maybe
that,
they do.
Well, even if they do, so it's pure embarrassment for you. So, you know, you're out of there. Doesn't matter to you. And frankly, someone like Gwede Mantashe should be much more embarrassed by the things that he does in the public space.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Than what he's doing in the private space. These days, the news cycle lasts, a week? And then it's over, and then people have a new story. And are we all that interested in Gwede Mantashe's sex life? Not me.
What?
I've never thought about Gwede Mantashe's sex life. It's not something that would interest me.
Or him naked.
Ugh.
Imagine
oh, nice.
That.
I haven't had breakfast yet.
There we go. See.
Stop.
Aren't you enjoying this? You see, Anthea, this is
so
fun.
So glad I came in early.
I know. You should do this more often. Okay. In other political news, Steenhuisen, that's John Steenhuisen, He is calling for those who've left the party to return. So it seems in the vacuum that has
the
been
DA
created
is, yeah? mm-hmm,
by all the resignations in the DA, he stepped into the space because he was the new parliamentary leader. He's just been made new parliamentary leader. That was Musi's old job in Parliament. Mm-hmm. He says it's been a bruising week for the DA, and the federal chairperson, Helen Ziller, is currently serving as interim leader of the party. Steenhuisen says, regardless of the resignation of some of its leaders, the democratic project needs to continue. It has been a difficult week. We woke up without a leader and a chairperson, but we woke up with 85 seats in Parliament, the second biggest party in South Africa. We are in government in a province and a municipality, he said. We have a duty of care to the people who have put us in these positions to continue building the democratic project. So, that's a horrible, unenviable job, right? Yeah. No matter what he says right now, people are like, ugh, whatever. Then, in other news, Cyril Ramaphosa has paid tribute to O.R. Tambo on the late stalwart's 102nd birthday. If there's anything that the ANC is good at, it's commemorating the dead and holding funerals and celebrating death. And oh my God, do they love a good death. That's all the ANC is really good at. I mean, let's give them credit. There isn't a party in the world that loves death more than this. Cyril, apparently, along with David Makura, who's the Premier of Gauteng, Ekurhuleni Mayor, Zwandile Masina, Dali Tambo, and his wife at the Tamboville Cemetery during the wreath-laying ceremony at the grave sites were pictured, and members of the ANC were converged at the Tamboville Cemetery in Brakpan to mark the legacy of O.R. Tambo and his wife Adelaide. Sunday marks the 102nd birthday of the former president of the ANC. The legacy is being celebrated at his gravesite at the cemetery named after him. Later in the day, the president will lay a wreath at their graves and deliver a keynote address. And on Saturday night, veteran politician Mavusom Simang spoke about the legacy of O.R. Tambo at the 50th anniversary of the Morogoro conference.
You're
at the Market
Theatre.
Having a challenge. The celebration, which is taking place under the theme Celebrating the 90th Birthday of Mama Adelaide Tambo. That's the theme. The theme is Celebrating the Birthday of Mama Adelaide Tambo is aimed at preserving the legacy of the struggle icons. Great.
Original theme.
Great. Yeah, I mean, you really named that one well, guys.
At least everyone knows what it is.
You must have hired an ad agency to help you craft that theme. Huh? The joke is someone was probably paid to come up with that name.
Oh, that's not funny.
AfriForum are going to solve a case, according to Senzo Myiwa's brother. Listen to this. Sifiso Myiwa, who's the brother of the late Orlando Pirates and Bafana Bafana skipper Senzo, says he hopes that he will be able to finally have closure and those who murdered his brother will be brought to book. Who did they go to? AfriForum for help. And AfriForum said, sure, we'll take on your case. But the National Prosecuting Authority has warned the family against sharing details of the investigation. Why? Senzo was murdered 5 years ago this week, and Sifiso said he was happy with the developments, especially because the Minister of Police had also contacted him to say investigations were being finalized. We are happy and hope for this case to be resolved. We know that AfriForum does not take bribes. They are going to solve this case. See, this is the problem when you have a breakdown of law and order and nobody trusts the justice system, is they go to private organizations like AfriForum, who've basically set up a private prosecution business. And as soon as the government closes down, as soon as the Department of Justice and the National Prosecuting Authority close down an investigation, they can pick it up and run a private prosecution. So if these guys are prepared to help the Miwas, good for them.
So this is the kind of second derivative of private security. You now have private prosecutors.
That's right. And remember, anything that the government can do, the private sector can usually do better. That's usually the case. There are a few exceptions, but that's usually the case.
How far does this go?
Well, eventually, hopefully, to the point where you don't even need a government. That's the way I see it. And then they killed this filthy animal who was the leader of Islamic State, the ISIS group, right?
What's its name?
It was Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. That
sounds like
that was its name. And Donald
Trump... That's my safe word.
No wonder he's dead.
Donald Trump goes on TV and he goes, "We managed to kill Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. We chased him down a dead-end tunnel, whimpering, screaming, and begging for his life until he got to the end and he detonated his vest with his three kids as like a human shield. What a piece of shit this guy was.
Jeez, right to the end.
Yeah, and he was the guy who created the caliphate in areas of Iraq and Syria when he announced it in 2014. ISIS carried out multiple atrocities that resulted in thousands of deaths. The jihadist group imposed a brutal rule in the areas under its control and was behind many attacks around the world. Although the US declared the caliphate defeated earlier this year, ISIS militants remained active in the region and elsewhere. But now, his death is a major victory for Trump and for the Americans, because Trump has been facing heavy criticism for his decision to pull troops out of northern Syria and fight an impeachment inquiry launched by Democrats. So...
He was apparently given up by his wife and a courier, right?
Well,
that's the story I read late last night.
Quite possibly. You know, a guy like that, if he was just such a shit that he was prepared to use his kids as human shields right at the end, he was probably horrible to his wife as well. Yeah, and I'm sure he was mean to everyone who
got
worked
what he deserved, right?
Yeah, so someone's going to turn on you. You know, if you're a douchebag like that, then bad things are going to happen to you. And you're going to deserve every one of them. So rest in misery, you slab of human feces. I'm so happy. When I hear about these ISIS guys being taken out, I dance a little dance at home. I pour myself a celebratory drink. I phone up friends and tell them how much I care about them. I celebrate.
Shoot your gun into the air.
I love it. It's the best. All right, so it's time for Anthea to tell us what's going on with our money, and you can always get hold of us this morning on 0797482090. What do you got for us this morning, Anthea?
Good morning, again. Sorry.
Yes.
It was an interesting week last week. Lots of concern around global growth to the point where crude oil fell below $61 a barrel.
Ooh.
And that was a big surprise because U.S. crude inventories came in lower than expected, so... less supply should be a higher price. And OPEC are taking action, if you like, with their members to keep oil prices elevated. So why it fell below $61 a barrel was interesting. I think it really is just concern over global growth. We had in Germany the private sector employment number falling for the first time in 6 years. And I think that just kind of shocked the market a bit. I've got some interesting... trivia for you, because if you look at how to write the price of oil per barrel, like for example, 61,
in other words, on the index, basically,
or anywhere it's referred to in writing, anywhere in reports, in fact, on the index, on boards, on trading platforms, it's $61 and then the /BBL. Because
$61 per barrel.
But
doesn't
stand for
BBL.
Oh, exactly.
What does that mean?
In the 1860s, when they started producing oil, there was no standard measure. They used to use anything: turpentine barrels, molasses barrels, fish barrels, anything, you know. And so a barrel would be 40 gallons. And then eventually, a couple of decades later, they decided to standardize oil and put it in blue barrels. So BBL stands for blue barrels. And the blue barrels were, in fact, 42 gallons, U.S. gallons. And the extra 2 gallons was what in wine is called the angel's share.
Yeah,
because it evaporates.
That's right.
So your standard barrel of... petroleum is 42 gallons and it's blue.
That's
so
amazing.
/BBL stands for blue barrels.
But then it's the same size.
It also
size
stands for blue balls.
Okay, but
does
in
it?
This case,
yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
If you, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what to say to that.
No, I don't know either. But then it's the same size as a cask of wine.
Isn't a cask of wine only 40? Oh, maybe it is 42.
Yeah, because they let the two evaporate. That's what I'm imagining. Mm. So why?
I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Angel share.
All right. What else?
And then the ECB left interest rates unchanged.
That's the European Central Bank.
That's correct. Sorry. Uh-huh. Thank you for correcting me.
No.
And it was pretty much Mario Draghi, or Super Mario as we call him, his swan song speech. So he's being replaced by the very politically astute Christine Lagarde. We're all very excited about that.
But she's already been very important in international.
IMF, yeah. She headed up the IMF.
Right, so
she's smart and she's well-regarded, and so we're all very excited that she's going to be heading up the ECB.
But you said she's quite politically astute. Just explain.
She just knows how to play the game. You know, she knows how to get what she wants. She keeps everybody in line. I mean, of course, that was at the IMF, which is a slightly different organization to ECB. It's going to be slightly harder at ECB, but if anybody can do it, she can do it. I have no doubt.
Okay. How do we rate Mario Draghi?
I think he had a tough term, right? He went through some really difficult recession. Well, and the market was good, but I think the economy was difficult. Europe was difficult. He had to kind of see where things were going with Brexit, and they kept lowering interest rates to keep the market higher. So he's done okay. No All doubt. Right. And everybody was asking him what he's going to do after, because he's Italian, and they're asking if he's going to be the president of Italy. And he deferred to his wife, Serena Draghi, who, by the way, comes from a noble family. She's, in fact, descended from the Grand Duke of Tuscany. So guess who wears the pants in that household?
Good. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. And then locally, CPI inflation came in well below the SARB's midpoint target. So the target's 4.5. CPI inflation came in at 4.1%, which is even lower than the previous month's 4.3%. And I think part of this really is showing that consumer demand is not there. So consumers are not purchasing. But then we also saw Pick and Pay's results, an impressive set of results. I'm really impressed. Richard Brash has done, the CEO has done a fantastic job. And what we saw in Pick and Pay was that they're not passing on inflation to the consumer. So it feels like the retailers are absorbing, and I think we've spoken about this before, retailers are basically absorbing inflation into their prices because they're trying to buy market share. They're trying to get the consumer to buy. And if they push up prices, puts pressure on the consumer, the consumer doesn't come to spend.
Right.
So they're trying to keep, you know, it's like a price war basically between the retailers. But yeah, turnover at Pick and Pay grew 6%, like-for-like turnover, which is really how we measure it, 2.9%, which doesn't seem that fantastic. But the real kicker was that they managed to keep costs really low, and so their gross profit margins increased by 1%.
That's terrific. I mean, that's really good work for them. That's managing the place so well.
And in this economic environment?
Yeah.
Super.
Terrific.
And then Clicks put out their full year results, and actually also another great set of results. But we knew this was coming because the week before they put out a trading statement saying that things were going to be good. Again, group turnover grew by 7.1%. Clicks turnover is now 31.4 billion rand a year.
Damn, that's good. And we were amazing. Worried about them being pushed out of the market by Dis-Chem.
Exactly.
Not so long ago.
No fear of that now.
No.
Even though they put out some good results, the share was down because when they put out their trading statement the week before, the share was up, I want to say 10% in one day. And so I think what you saw last week, Thursday, when the results came out, was just some profit taking. You know, so pushed the share down, those who had bought. And really, kind of from Click's point of view, it was about gaining market share. And there we were, thinking that Dis-Chem was going to take over. And expanding their pharmacy footprint. So what's happening in South Africa at the moment, where you used to have a lot of mom and pop pharmaceuticals, you now have Clicks and Dis-Chem buying them up. The difficulty for Clicks and Dis-Chem, though, is that you cannot have a pharmacy without a qualified pharmacist. So before, where the pharmacist would go and open his mom and pop pharmacy, he's now retiring and selling off to Dis-Chem and to Clicks. And so they're struggling to find qualified pharmacists who can be there on the ground for it. For every hour that it's open, you have to have a pharmacist present. So I think that's their difficulty, and that's probably where their growth might be stunted in that industry.
Let's talk about Altron.
Yeah, so this is a small ICT company. And when I say small, they're just over 10 billion rand market cap. Also a decent set of, in fact, a shockingly, surprisingly good set of results.
Good for
them. South African companies really just know how to every once in a while pull rabbits out of hats. Eh?
I think they have to. It's almost like a survival strategy.
Absolutely. Oh. And if you think about 2008, 2009, when the rest of the world was struggling, how the South African market kind of held on to their gains or held their own and didn't fall by 40% as did the others, then yeah, it's good to watch South African resilience at its best. EBITDA was up 19%, although some of that was for an accounting change. Same story with all the other the retail stores that own or that sorry that lease properties. They have to bring these leases onto the balance sheet. So if you exclude that, EBITDA was up 9%. Headline earnings per share up 4%, which is kind of okay. But it, I mean, it's pretty decent. You know, they're saying they've got great agreements with Toyota, Vodacom, Netstar. They're looking for double-digit earnings growth by 2022. So that's pretty impressive. And you'll know the CEO. He's Mteto Nyati.
Mteto Nyati, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you do know him. Okay, yeah. So he's kind of...
He used to be MTN CEO. He's been around the block. He knows his stuff.
That's right. And he wrote a book, which I haven't read yet. It's called Betting on a Darkie, Lifting the Corporate Game. I know, right? I have such an aversion to reading books like that. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm still old school.
Okay.
And then overseas, two big ones. Tesla was up 21% on Wednesday after they put out a fantastic set of results. Finally, a profit.
Oh, yes?
Tesla finally makes a profit. So the market was expecting a loss of 42 cents per share. They made a profit of $1.86 per share. So, of course, the share spiked. Elon Musk on top of his game. Isn't he fantastic all of a sudden? The greatest thing. Yeah. he kind of has to, right? After he got booted for being a bit of an idiot and being taken off the board of Tesla. So yeah. He still runs it, but he's not on the board anymore. They managed to increase their cash balance to $5.3 billion, which is staggering.
Superb.
And it's money they're going to need because he's talking about producing cheaper cars, rolling out SUVs, more self-driving technology. The man always has something on the go, doesn't
he?
That's
what's so good about him. And we're looking for CEOs and leaders in business and in politics, frankly, who have good ideas and who have things that are constantly improving. And he has a list of those that's from here to the moon.
Absolutely.
In fact, from here to Mars because he's trying to get there.
But the difficulty with being the front runner or the greatest innovator is that bigger companies always tend to catch up with you. So you're always having to stay ahead of the game. So even if you're first to market, it's not always the most profitable best solution.
If you're first to market, you make all the mistakes and someone can come in after you and having learned from your lessons, make none of the mistakes.
That's exactly right, yeah.
All right, but good for Elon Musk.
And then the last one, Twitter. They reported their third quarter results on Thursday, I think it was as well. Net income of $37 million or 5 cents per share. Revenue climbed to $824 million, which apparently wasn't good enough because the market was expecting $874 million. And they said they'd discovered a bug in their advertising, their targeted advertising in their software that is being used for targeted advertising. Yeah. So the share was down 18%, which I didn't think was fair. I mean, so they undershot revenue a little bit. And they grew their monetizable daily active users, which is exactly what the business model is, right? So their MDAU, as we call it, monetizable daily active users. They grew to 145. We were from 139 the previous quarter, and the market was only expecting 142.
I have to tell you, I don't believe any of this. I think Twitter, YouTube, Google, and Facebook all inflate their numbers outrageously. I'm supposedly 2 million followers in on Twitter, right? I put something out, and I promise you it does not get anything like the number. You could have 80,000 followers and you'll probably get more.
I'm still on. You have 2 million Twitter followers.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't been on there for a long time. But when I do tweet something, you'd expect it to have a fair amount of reach. It doesn't. And I think it's all inflated. The smaller numbers are obviously the real ones. So if you have like 10,000 followers or whatever, those are your genuine engaging followers. Now, there might be a whole bunch of fake followers. I accept that. They did a big cleanup a while ago. But there's also the fact that I think their algorithm actually squashes it at both ends. Like, it makes sure that very, very small numbers are exaggerated upwards so that those people keep working the system, and that people at the top of the system get much lower reaction rates because their algorithm wants to churn out less result there.
Or they want you to pay to have your content seen.
Well, that's what they do want that. And therefore, I don't think it's real. And I think advertisers have to be very careful when they're spending money with these guys, because there's no one who can verify their numbers except them. And how do we know they're putting out real numbers? Could be completely fake.
Yeah, and the definition I gave you, the monetizable daily active users, mm-hmm. is not monetized.
No,
so they haven't actually received a single cent from every single one of those 145 million people. It's that they potentially could.
Exactly. So
which speaks exactly to your theory.
All right, very good. No worries. Thank you.
So they say they've got challenges in the fourth quarter because there are no major events. We're in the fourth quarter.
But look, I mean, Twitter also has challenges full stop, because even trying to monetize these people on that platform is very hard. Very hard.
Yeah.
It's not a place people go to. You know, Facebook has a better time doing it. Instagram probably a much better time too. And YouTube. Twitter is not built for this. So while it's a really interesting communications platform, I don't think it's a good one for advertisers. Just my two cents. All right, good.
Should we talk on Thursday? It's medium-term budget policy statement on Wednesday again.
Yes, we must. And I think it would... It's probably going to be all about how are we going to get taxed more.
I don't think he's got room to tax.
Don't you?
No. It's only medium-term, so I don't think he... I mean, he might talk about it for February, but I don't think he'll up taxes. No, I don't think he can at this stage.
All right. Well, let's see what happens.
We'll chat on Thursday.
Great. Thank you, Anthea. Anthea Gardner and The Money Shot, 5 minutes to 7, cliffcentral.com. A couple of messages. Do you want to hear them?
Yes, please.
Let's get into them. So first of all, morning, guys. I've been laughing at that short segment about the Arab guy giving money to Candice Funamadva.
Oh, yes.
What's the Arab song you played in the background? I can't tell
it's
you.
It's just called Arab Song.
Yeah. Raid Liquid Electric is the best. No smell, no mosquitoes. I've been using it for years. Doom makes one too. Okay, good. I'm going to buy a whole ton of it this afternoon.
Jeez.
Apparently, Gwede Mantashe is a tiger in the bedroom.
Oh.
He and Tito Mboweni were sharing the same loslapi, according to Sunday World. More of Leanne on the GCS, please. Love you, Leanne Moll.
Oh,
very nice. That's coming in from Donnell. No, sorry, Lionel. Jeez, how did I get
same
those
thing.
Two confused? Lionel likes you, Leanne. Okay, and then I've recently been told an open tub of Vicks next to your bed works. Don't know how true it is, though. That's for the mosquitoes. And this baby smells like a bomb. Doesn't even smell like normal repellent. Wake up with the corpses of mosquitoes around you. It's fantastic. And that was Peaceful Sleep Room Spray.
You see.
Yeah.
Just mustn't spray it on your face.
Right. Apparently, a 225-liter wine barrel is 60 gallons. That means a wine barrel is bigger than an oil barrel, according to
Because we need more wine in this world than we need oil.
That's probably true. So thank you, Marcus, for that one. Anthea, any thoughts on APF as a cheap share to hold? All right, but we'll have to ask her that the next time. Sorry. Just saw it now. Hey, Gareth, so good to have you back from New York. My mornings were so hard without you starting the day. I've upgraded to iOS 13, and now the app is doing that switching off every 10 minutes or so thing again. Is this our app?
Stupid app.
We have to do an upgrade now. All right.
Gotta keep
up. How disappointing.
Last week you played Loslapi. I remember singing Loslapi at Bible College, and the pastor wanted to wash my mouth out with that green soap we all used. Was that a fart?
No, my glasses.
Oh.
Scrape the mic.
Oh, we've got to be sure these days with you, Leah.
Just checking. Was it a fart? Morning. Sorry for the late reply. Came up for air as I'm still motorboating and heard you guys asking about my wife's titties. Used up all the annual leave on Friday, Grant and Nelspruit. Well, that sounds great, Grant. So obviously a big win. I think that's wonderful.
Very good.
Congratulations. You want to go to a voice note?
Sure, we can risk it.
From Ndu? Okay, let's see what we can do here. You never know with these voice notes. Sometimes it's a home run. Sometimes it's a complete disaster. Let's see what's going on with Ndu. Go ahead.
Wow, Gareth, celebrating the death of that guy, to me, it doesn't really make sense, because he was a leader of ISO. So now that he's gone, they're going to get a new leader. It's like celebrating that Zuma is gone, but you know the NC are gonna get another person to replace Zuma. So same thing is going to happen with ISO. So it doesn't really make sense with me, yeah.
All right, I apologize for the blings. Those are new messages that keep coming in. So you see how many people are sending us messages every 5 minutes.
You need to teach Ben how to handle the system because, like, he was just complaining about it, man. Like, well, how does Gareth do it? I can't keep up.
I like celebrating the death of horrible people who like killing other humans. In fact, I have a song specially for this. Ding dong, the bitch is dead. Which old bitch? The wicked bitch. Anyway, we won't get into that now. Very, very nice. Here he is. Here's the new leader of ISIL. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Doesn't sound too good.
No.
Not a good start.
Go to the doctor. Sounds all right, like thank you. There's a new leader of ISIL.
Mm. Nice. Sounds like Sears car.
Not good. All right, everybody, we'll be back in a minute with more on the Gareth Cliff Show, starting your week off on a Monday morning and hopefully trying to make you feel a little bit better about things or make you feel even better.
I'll be back. I got to tell you about Spain, Gareth.
Oh, yes. I'm still going to hear about Spain.
I'll be back.
And here's some old school.
CliffCentral.com.